Hebrews chapter number 11. Chapter number 11 is the great hall of fame of faith. A lot of, I just read some of these statements and some of these verses, by faith so-and-so, by faith so-and-so, and I just get thrilled on the inside because I have faith. So they're not unusual. They didn't do things I can't do, or you know, have the supernatural or see God work in their life and me not see that. I can see this because I have faith. God's dealt to me the measure of faith. And dealt to you. If you're a believer, God's dealt to us all the measure of faith. But it says in but Hebrews, it doesn't just say by faith so and so was healed. We emphasize healing, and so rightfully so, or by faith somebody got their needs met. There's faith is a lifestyle. It affects everything. It affects the way you think. It affects the way you make decisions. It affects the friends you pick. It affects so many things. And we're going to look at how faith affects one particular area of our lives this morning. A little unusual for me, but I'm going to get into it. Just came in my heart the other day. Hebrews 11, verse 23. Hebrews 11, verse 23. It says here about Moses' parents by faith. Well, let's back up. Verse 23. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents. In other words, that's talking about Moses' parents' faith. By faith, the parents of Moses hid him 3 months when he was born, because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. Now, if you know anything about faith, let's just keep on reading before we make these comments. Verse 24, by faith Moses, when he was come to years. All right, so verse 23 is talking about his parents and how they raised him, how they, what they did. We're going to look at it a little bit this morning. But then it talks about in verse 24, when Moses was grown up, he became a man of faith. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years. That means grown up. By the way, that's 40 years old. For all of you under 40 years old, I just thought I'd say that. This front row over here, except for the end here. We've got some. Well, I better behave. I'm gonna look straight ahead. I'm going to behave this morning. Amen. Who puts him on the front row, by the way? Nobody can sit behind him because they can't see around. Yeah. Got to take Anna's place. It's a poor substitute, I know, but it's for I mean, Dane would rather have, anyway. What is into me this morning? Behave, behave. There's a saying we have around here, Jonathan, that whom the Lord loveth, the pastor picketh on. So you're in good stead. Back to the word. All right. Moses, by faith, verse 24, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. By faith, he did that. Say he did it by faith. One translation says he refused the title. How many of you know faith won't call you, and certain things you won't allow to be yourself to be called if you have faith? Victim. You know what I'm talking about? Defeated. Sick, broke, busted, disgusted. Those words don't come out of my mouth because I got faith. Always triumphing in Christ. That's the way I talk. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Why? Why did he make that kind of choice? Because he had faith. Faith affects your choices. I said it affects your choices. So we don't, people of faith don't make choices based on whims or circumstances or what's convenient or what other people think we should do. Faith hears from God and makes the choice based on what God said. If you'll help me, I would preach real good this morning. choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Somebody said that sin has no pleasure in it. Oh, yeah, it does. This verse says it does.
Yes.
Amen. But it's for a season. And when that season's over, brother, you better know it's no fun. Amen. All right, verse 26. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. In other words, the payday. Whenever payday comes, he had great honor for the payoff that it was going to bring into his life to do the right thing, to obey God, to do the plan that God had for his life. It might not, Brother Hagin used to always say, payday might not always come on Friday. When you do the right thing and obey God, the plan of God might not always come on Friday night. But paydays are coming. Paydays are coming. Looks like it costs sometimes. There's a price sometimes. It looks like the price is high. Relationships. People they go their own way or they part ways with you because you're going to follow God. Or, you know, whatever. It could cost you some things. But whatever it costs is nothing compared to the payoff. Faith sees that. Faith makes the right choice because it sees that. So Moses did that. He was, you know the story. Most of us know it. We don't, you know, maybe we should just back up and say he was born into Hebrew family to Hebrew parents. And he was born in a time whenever Pharaoh was afraid of the Israelites multiplying too quick and didn't want them to, you know, outnumber them and revolt, you know, and take down the nation and so forth because he had them in slavery. And so, but they were multiplying so quick that he gave a decree that all the midwives were to kill the male babies that were born. What an awful, see, that's what government's doing today. Killing babies. Anyway, I'll just let you know that that's the same spirit. Big government always kills babies. So, We see Moses born during that time, and he was supposed to be killed, but his parents hid him. She had the baby before the midwives even got there or whatever, and they hid Moses. Remember the little story? They put him down in the basket in the bulrushes or whatever in the river, and Pharaoh's daughter came down there and saw the baby and had compassion on it and she took him as her own child, except she let Moses' sister is really who she met, but mom raised him for a while. And then she took him into the palace to be an Egyptian. He was trained in all the ways of the Egyptians, the Egyptian language. He was a heir to the throne. He's a child of the Pharaoh, you know, all these things. And he's basically a Hebrew, but he's trained in the things of the world. But his mom, the faith of his mom, it mentions both parents, but it especially mentions, if you read the book of Exodus, I believe it is, if you look at the mention of it in the Bible, his mom must have been the strongest influence on him. Her faith was so strong that it affected him so strongly that all that training in the Egyptian culture, you know, that culture was perverted and sinful and all wicked and, you know, just foreign gods and all kinds of stuff. All that training in the Pharaoh's house could not undo the faith that a faith-filled mom put into him for whatever period of time she had to raise him.
Amen.
Whoa, that's a faith mama right there. Isn't that good? Because when Moses got to years, because every child comes to the time, they've got to decide, is mama's God and daddy's God, is that my God? Or am I going to do my own thing? Am I going the way of the world? Am I going to be a Christian? Do I believe in God? Do I serve Him? Do I walk in the Word? Do I go to church? Do I, are the people of God my people? Or am I going to be a person of the world? You know, every child gets to the age, they've got to make that decision for themselves. Nobody's saved because mom and daddy were saved. Nobody serves God because mom and daddy served God. But if parents properly put faith into children, I got a verse for you. If you do it right. You want to hear the verse? Proverbs 22:6. Train up a child in the way he should go. Not the way he wants to go. See, when he's in your home, it's not a matter of what they want to do. It's a matter of the way they should go. Train up a child in the way he should go. And when he's old, you know, you never can tell how they'll turn out. When he's old, what'll happen? He will not. That's a promise. That's a promise. I said that's a promise. If we do it right, that child will go the right direction. I heard Jesse DePlantis talk about, because he was raised in a Christian home. I don't know how much they knew, but he was raised in a Christian home. And but he said they were saved, but they weren't sanctified. He said they'd go to church and then come home and cuss. You know. So they didn't know a whole lot, maybe, but anyway, he said when he got saved, he went the way of the world at first, but then he got saved. He said his mama told him when he got saved, God leaned over to Jesus and said, "Jesus, I need to give you a blood transfusion. Jesse DePlantis is using it all." Jesse DePlantis got saved and using up all your blood. But he didn't depart. Come on now. Mama put enough faith in him. Amen. She drug him to church, did whatever. Amen. You know, when I was growing up, I had a drug problem. My parents gave it to me. They drugged me to church. My parents gave me my drug problem. I got to the age I didn't want to go. And they basically looked at me like, "You don't have a vote in this." Because we go to church. When it comes time Sunday morning, we go to church. Right. I don't get it when parents give children an option. Now, yeah, if you didn't do it right, and then now they're 21 and they're still living at the house, okay, yeah. But they're 6, 7, 8, 10, 12, and you're acting like they have a choice? That's not raising, that's not training up a child in the way he should go. That's not training. Training is not saying what they should do and giving them an option. Training is making them do it. You ever heard of somebody training a horse? I know you like horses, still like horses, you know, and they train those horses. They don't give it, "Now, horsey, do you want to?" No, you take it by the reins, and you ever seen those things? They put them on and they make them walk around. Yes, they're training. And that's the way your children need to be. "Well, Mommy, I don't want to go." Well, why is it that you don't give them that? And when it comes Monday morning and they don't want to go to school, do you say, "Oh, honey, okay"? Why is it that when it comes to school, you don't give them an option, but when it comes to church? Well, little Richie, he wants to play baseball on Wednesday nights. Well, then baseball will be the way he departs. Train up a child in the way he should go, and he will not depart.
Amen.
Everybody still glad you came to church? I'm glad you're saying amen, because usually there's three ways to get a holy hush in a church. Talk about money, talk about kids, talk about diet or something like that. I think it's diet. Or weight. So we'll just say amen this morning while Pastor preaches on faith parenting.
Amen.
Being faith parents. Praise the Lord. So I like this. Mama's faith was so strong that, you know, Moses, when he got to years, all those years of training in the Pharaoh's court, whatever was in their culture, whatever gods they told him were his gods, or whatever they said in that court, you know, it was crazy in there. Anyway, we could even go into history and look at how the incest and all the stuff that was going on. Those people were crazy. Anyway, but there must have been more. I look at this passage, and I come back to this several times whenever I look at it. There must have been more to it than them just seeing he was a proper child. The word "proper" means good looking. If you just boil it down. Amen. I know God didn't see that when he was looking at me. But anyway, he saw something else. How many of you know God looks on the heart? I take that back. I am good looking. Watch your mouth. Amen. I tell you, sin makes us ugly, but righteousness will make us look much better than we would if we was in sin. So there must have been more to this. God must have spoken, because notice it says by verse 23, by faith. How's faith come? By hearing. So Moses' parents must have heard something. How many of you know God will speak to parents either before their child is born or at their birth or sometime real soon thereafter about His plan for them? If a parent will listen, parent will seek God, because here's why. God, that child was given to you from God. They belong to God. They're just on loan to you, mom and dad, for a while to train them. Well, how do I train them? What do I train them for? It's called a prayer life. Find out what God's plan is for that child and train them for the plan. Of course, the general will is in the Bible, but I'm talking even about specifics. Remember, Pastor Nancy talks about God speaking to her about Grant. He's called to pastor. Stephen, called to travel. Some things about his ministry in different ways than Grant. But she didn't let them just... I could tell you stories, which I won't, because they happened in confidence. Yeah. But it was not an option for those boys. Yeah. Right. I want to do this. I want to do this. Right. No.
Yeah.
No.
That's right.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Right. I mean, you know, they're 16, 17 years old.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. Amen. Amen. Because of what God said. That's a faith mama. Hallelujah. And guess what Grant and Stephen are now? They're faith sons. In the plan. Walking in the plan. Parenting, the word parenting and passive do not belong in the same sentence. It's just like it's not this. Parenting is something you are involved with. You are it's full of action. Now, parenting's a lot of hard work, Pastor. You should have thought about that before you had babies. I didn't know all this. Well, too late now. Salute and say, "Yes, sir. I'm reporting for duty, Lord. What's the plan for this child?" Well, Lord, I'm just going to turn him over to you. And he turned him over to you. God gave that child a parent to train them and guide them, teach them, direct them, have input, listen to this, and be the greatest influence on their life, greater than anybody else, anything else. Culture, the school down there, what they're saying in school, all his little friends, the cartoons they watch, you, even at the church. We bring them to church, but the church should not have and can't have as much influence on your children as you do, mom and dad.
Yes, sir.
Amen. You know the story about Abraham. When God spoke to Abraham, it says that God gave a reason, and we've shared this many, many times, but we've got so many new folk that I just want to share it here again. That God spoke to Abraham about, or God spoke about why he was giving Abraham the assignment he was giving him. How many of you remember that? It says, because Abraham, I know him, Genesis 18, the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham that which I do, seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all nations of the earth shall be blessed. This is 17 through 19. Genesis 18, 17 through 19. Shall be blessed for him, for I know him. What do I know about him? That he'll command his children and his household after him, and they'll keep the way of the Lord, to do justice and judgment, and the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken of him. In other words, I'm going to reveal my plan to Abraham, what I'm going to do, what the plan is here on the earth. I'm going to reveal it to Abraham. If you read the whole story, you read the New Testament and everything, Abraham actually had a vision of Jesus on the cross on Mount Moriah. Well, it was Mount Moriah in Abraham's day, but saw Jesus on the cross, because Abraham offered his son in covenant. God said, I can offer my son.
Yeah. Come on.
Because covenant...
Yeah.
Whatever's mine's yours, yours is mine.
Yeah. Yeah.
Whatever I ask of you, it's already mine. Whatever you ask of me, it's already yours.
Yes, sir. Yeah. Yeah.
Abraham, in order to bring Jesus into the earth, God asked Abraham for his son. Abraham gave it. God said, I'm going to bring a redeemer into the earth. My son. I'm going to give my son for you. That's all covenant. But see, God said that about Abraham back here, I know I'm going to reveal some of these things to Abraham, and I'm going to use him. And here's the, it says there, why? Because I know that he will command his children after him.
Yes.
In other words, what I share with him, he will give to the next generation.
Yes.
And that generation to the next generation, and then keep on going.
Yes,
in other words, what I reveal to Abraham will not be lost in one generation's time.
That's right.
God thinks multi-generationally. He doesn't just think about you and I when he shares things with you and I. Because he's thinking about this big plan that is bigger than one generation. It has to be, each successive generation has to do their part in carrying it out. And if what he shares with us dies with us, we have been bad stewards and it's dead in the earth and God has to start all over again. So there are some things that he won't share with some parents because it will die with that generation. And he'll look for somebody else who will take what he shares and put it into their children, build faith, build that word into them, go over it and over and over it, put faith into their children so that whenever they come to the place, they are at the age, they make their own decisions, bam, we've got another faith generation in the earth.
Amen.
And God calls that good stewardship. Losing in one generation is bad stewardship. Am I all right? Am I still preaching all right? And so there must have been more that God revealed. I'm looking at this and thinking God must have, because faith comes by hearing. Faith doesn't come by looking at somebody's good looks. God must have then, and he must have been a good looking child, and they were looking at him, and God then must have spoken something to him. The Bible doesn't say anything about it, but faith comes by hearing. We do know that. So they had to hear. So God must have spoken and said, here's my plan for this child. He must have said something to him, to the parents about him being a deliverer, and so forth and so on. Isn't that right?
Yes, sir.
Because divine revelation rests on, faith rests on divine revelation.
Yes. Yeah.
And so they must have known what he was born for.
Yeah.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
And so Mama took what God said and taught Moses, this is who God is. This is who Abraham was. This is what God said to Abraham. This is what God, and Abraham passed it to Isaac, and Isaac to Jacob, so forth and so on. Now, I mean, if you know, there was a history even before Moses. This whole nation in Israel that he brought out of Israel, I mean Egypt, that he brought out of Egypt, they all came out of Abraham. And the dealings and a covenant God had made. So Moses' mom must have told him all of that.
Right.
And told him what they believe and what God had said.
Yeah.
Who God was.
Yep.
How they got down here.
Yeah.
In Egypt to begin with.
Yes, sir.
You know?
Yeah.
And why they were down in here. And what God had said. Because God had said to Abraham, they're going to be in there for 400 years.
Yeah.
Ended up actually being just a little longer than that because of Moses' disobedience, but they were roughly in there about the time God said, and God must have revealed to them that you have a part in delivering this nation.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes, amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Maybe they didn't know everything.
Right.
But they shared with him and they put faith into him. And they taught him, this is who God is.
Yes.
He's the one that split the Red Sea. He's the one that he hadn't split the Red Sea yet, but I mean, he's the one that did the provision down in Egypt. He's the one that multiplied our seed like he told Abraham he would, and so forth and so on. So he must have talked about this to Moses as he was growing up. You understand what we're talking about? She told him who God was, what God had planned for him, and how to believe God, how to use his faith, because she's a faith mama. God will do the same for you.
Yes.
That child comes with a plan.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
There's a plan assigned to that child. There's, right. God doesn't have any children that, oh, I don't know what they're here for. We forgot.
No.
We got one here. We don't have a plan for, Father. No. What's the plan? No, there's no child. No child.
That's right.
I know I'm preaching simple, but we're going to get to something here. No child comes into the earth that God just doesn't have anything for them.
Right.
They're just down here to suck air.
No such thing.
No. No, there's an assignment.
Yes. Yes.
Can you say amen?
Yes.
So Moses' mom told him all that and knew enough, whatever she knew, she shared it with him and she planted the seeds in him. And it was so, that influence, her mama's influence on him was so strong that all those years of training in Egypt could not get that out of him.
Yes.
Amen. Whoa. I mean, that needs to be the way you raise your children. Your influence, your faith is so strong. You can't make them serve God, but you don't have to if you do this right. So strong that no matter what they decide when they get of age that they want to do, that's going to be in them talking to them. Amen. And the Bible says you do that and they will, when they get old, they will not depart from it. Glory to God. I said glory to God. So God will do the same for you. If you'll pray, he'll give you God's plan for your child. And then you can tell them. You might not be able to tell them everything. But whenever they say, I'm doing this or I'm doing that, you can redirect. Even if you can't say everything, depending on age and stuff. And they say, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. You should just train them. Now, wait. We don't pick what we do, son.
Right.
We seek God. We ask God.
Yeah.
And you find out from God what he's telling you. Because I'll say this, you might not know everything and be able to tell a child everything, because then they'll just, well, it was mama, thought will keep coming to their mind, well, mama called me, you know, mama said. No, it needs to be God getting through to that child himself. But yet, right on the other hand, you need to know it, and whenever they try to go a different direction, you say, have you prayed about that?
Yeah.
Because you already know which way they're supposed to go.
Yes, come on.
Yes, sir. Yeah. So good.
Come on. Amen.
Amen. There's a lot of heartache in the world, even in Christianity, because of poor parenting. Children go out and don't bring joy to their parents. So we're trying to head some of that off. So somebody say, I don't have children yet. You might. Amen. If you're young, you probably will. Usually happens when two people get together. You know what I'm talking about. So this is part of not yielding your child up to the world. The world's getting, the influence of the world out there is getting stronger and stronger. You and I are going to have to be stronger in raising children than ever. Than ever. Amen. This is part of not yielding them up to the sin and not yielding them up to the world. So part of training your children is putting into them who they are. So when Moses' parents found out who he was, they started putting that into him, at least the degrees to begin with, to get him on the right track. Now, basically, when I say putting in, part of raising children is telling them who they are, you got to first of all tell them who they are in Christ. We're doing it here at the church, but you got to reinforce these things. Telling them who they are in Christ. Telling them they don't have to, that, you know, when their little friend, you know, uses curse words, that's not who you are. That's not who you are. You're a child of God. God has saved you, washed you in the blood. You've been cleaned. You don't live like the world, Johnny. Amen. We've been separated from the world. Tell them who they are. And whatever level they can receive, you know, there's ways of saying it without saying Elizabethan, King James, or English, you know. You got to, you know, work it according to their age. Praise the Lord. So you start by just telling them who they are. And if they go out and conform to the world and do something other than what God planned was for their life, we know they weren't trained right. Well, I'm just reading the Bible. A lot of parents don't train their children right because they don't know who they are. Can't tell somebody who they are if you don't know who you are. Let me tell you who you are. You're the parent. Not the butler down there at your house, you know. You're the parent.
Yeah.
You're in charge.
Yeah, charge.
Not the inmates. I mean the children. Come on, say amen.
Amen.
Something doesn't sit right with you? The answer is no. No, not today, Johnny. You're not going over there to your friend's house today. But Mom, no, you know who you are. You know who you are, led by the Spirit. That's who you are. You're a child of God. As many as are led by the Spirit, they're the children of God. So now that you're glad you came. So you can't train somebody else in knowledge that you don't have for yourself. You're going to have to grow up spiritually to raise kids. Otherwise, we've got spiritual babies raising natural babies who will turn out to be spiritual babies. So, Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he'll go. When he's old, he'll not depart from it. Now, what does that mean, they'll not depart from it, the way they should go? That could be walking with God, being a Christian, so forth and so on. But it could also mean the specific plan for their life. You understand what I'm talking about? Moses' parents' influence was so strong that they must have spoken to him not only generally, you know, our God is Jehovah, not these strange Pharaoh gods, you know. Our God is not, our people are, we are Abraham's seed. God made a covenant with Abraham. We have a covenant with God. And Moses' parents must not only said that, they must have said something specific about the revelation they got whenever he was born. Maybe not enough to where they just told him everything. Maybe they didn't know everything. Because how many of you know you do have to let children work things out. But right on the other hand, we see something here that when she took the time to put this into him, he received it because it stuck with him in later years. Amen. And she changed the destiny of that nation. Was it Abraham Lincoln that said the hand that rocks the cradle rules the world or something like that? Mama, don't think you're doing nothing at home. You're raising up faith sons, faith daughters. Whatever the plan is for their life, they're going to go out and by faith do that. And we can add them to the list here in Hebrews 11. Do you have a vision for your children? Seven people over there. How about over here? Doesn't mean they're all going to deliver a whole nation or something, but whatever the plan is for their life, they're going to go out there and they're going to fulfill that. And they're going to hear, well done. Hallelujah. So what is this saying? One of the ways, you can read a lot of things in Hebrews 11, but one of the ways, this verse is saying, one of the ways faith is expressed is in the way you parent. Faith is expressed in the way you parent. Amen? In other words, faith, it's your job to make sure your influence is so strong in your child's training that when they get to be an adult, they're still walking by faith. They're following what they were born for. Now you can go on home to Jesus. I don't know why it's getting a little heavier the longer I preach. It's just keep saying amen, shouting, just glory. Amen. So you've done your job whenever they come to be an adult. Because sometimes people say, well, I can't make decisions for my child forever. How long do I make decisions for them? Well, until they make right decisions. If they don't know how to make right decisions, you're not done training yet. Now, how many of you know you can't start this at 18 years old? Or 12, or 6. It started with Moses as an infant. How many of you know you can't start training one way and then switch courses and say they're 18 years old now and they've been trained one way. Well, now, son, now this is the way. Well, you know, a lot of water under the bridge there. Well, praise the Lord. So whenever your influence is properly put on your children, they'll be adults still walking by faith and following what they're born for.
Yes.
Hallelujah. You have the responsibility to raise them for their purpose. Raise them for the plan.
That's good.
Amen. So because of that, God's obligated himself to show you enough to put into them what they need to go that direction, i.e. faith. Amen. Hallelujah. So once you know the plan, you keep them close under your influence, the influence of your faith, so they'll go that direction. That doesn't mean you don't let them have any friends. I'm not talking about just physically close. Parents can get weird on that. But I'm talking about spiritually close. Let me just give you an illustration. When they come home from school, what'd you learn today, Johnny? What happened in school today, Johnny? What'd your friend say? Oh, I'm digging into that one, huh?
Yeah.
What are you doing? You're staying close. You're keeping them close. Because some influence started getting into them, either what little Johnny said or what the teacher said about there are no genders anymore or whatever they're saying out there. You're keeping them real close so that when you find an influence that is not faith, you're going to have a greater influence on that child than that teacher, than little Johnny. That's faith. Faith makes sure your influence is stronger than everybody else's. Because God didn't give them to the school to raise. He gave them to you, parent. He gave them to you. You're the one that'll stand before God. God gave them to you as a steward. Amen. Praise the Lord. Is this okay? Wasn't what you expected, I know, but... Praise God. So faith prepares the child for what God wants them to do. Not what they want to do. What God wants them to do. Yeah. That's stewardship. Faith stewards what God gives. Faith is a good steward. Don't ever forget that. Faith is a good steward. Write it down. Faith is a good steward. When he says, this is your assignment. This is your responsibility. Faith steps up and said, yes, sir. Yeah. This will turn out the way you plan for it to turn out. Your plan will be secured in this area of my life.
Amen.
What other people do, what you told them to do, I can't secure that. But what you told me to do, and part of us raising children, right? What you told me to do, the plan will be secured in this area. Because I refuse to be a bad steward. I'm a good steward over my assignment. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So faith steward what God gives you to do so that his purposes and his plans are carried out. And you and I are only faithful as a child's steward if God's purposes are secured in their life. Amen. I want to say something before we go any further because I don't want condemnation to get on you. What you didn't know before you got saved is not what I'm talking about. Before you got your mind renewed or something like that. Don't let the devil take what I'm preaching and hit you over the head with this. Because you didn't know what you didn't know. Amen. And you were doing things just the way everybody else does it or whatever. You didn't get your instructions from the Word about raising children. You just got it from culture or this is the way mama did it or whatever. You know, so just take whatever condemnation the devil's trying to put on you and say, on it, because that's before you knew any better. I'm talking about what we know now. Amen. Can't change the past. Thank God for the mercy of God, right? And you can pray some things out and get some things changed in that. You can't make decisions for people, but you can seek God on it. Amen. So, I wanted to get that out of the way so people don't misunderstand what we're talking about. Everybody understand now what we're talking about? So, as God's steward of a child, that stewardship, if you read the Bible, it says stewardship requires faithfulness. In other words, faithful to exactly what God said. This child is designed for this. Maybe somebody said, well, what if it's not fivefold ministry or something? That doesn't matter. It's whatever the plan is. This child's called to business or whatever, you know, but still they're to be a part of a local church. They're to be bringing a supply to the kingdom. Amen. And you're going to make sure they know that and know why we prosper so we can continue to enjoy life. Yes, God's blessings, but we can also sow seeds. And what God's doing. Because, Johnny, there's other people out there that Jesus wants to get to them, you know. Teach them. Train them. Hallelujah. So God said to Abraham, I'm going to tell him some of these things because I know this won't just stay in his generation. So if you commit to raise children right, God will tell you some things. Amen. He'll pick you to raise some world changers. One of the greatest revelations in my life pastoring has been that the home children are raised in has everything to do with which direction they're going to go when they come out of that home. Everything. I mean, not even the church they went to has as much influence as the home life. Amen. Do you hear that holy hush? God wants us to leave a legacy for the next generation. Amen. And your part of your legacy is the way your children turn out. Whether God's able to use them, whether they're not available to Him. You know what I mean? So He's not just looking at one generation, He's looking at our lineage. Now go to 2 Timothy 1:5. 2 Timothy 1:5. We're keeping our joy this morning. Hallelujah. What we didn't know, we didn't know. But now we're learning. 2 Timothy 1:5. This is an interesting statement Paul made about Timothy. If you read about Timothy, he had a Greek father, which basically meant a father that didn't know God. Now, he must have been saved. I don't know. It doesn't really say if his father was ever saved, but his mother was, and his grandmother. And Paul brought that up. And he mentioned this to Timothy, 2 Timothy 1:5. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith. The word unfeigned means not pretended. It's the real deal. The unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, I am persuaded it is in thee also. I therefore put you in remembrance that you stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands and so forth. God's not giving us a spirit of fear. We know those verses. But I wanted you to see the verse first. He said, I know that you have an unpretended faith. It's the real thing. You're the real deal, Timothy. And he basically said, I know where you got it. Amen. Children don't become faith children just because they hear the word. Faith comes by hearing. Faith comes by hearing, doesn't it? Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word. But that's not, we read that and think that's just all that's to it. Even Jesus' hometown proved that's not true. They heard Jesus say, the Spirit of the Lord's on me, He's anointed me. They heard it. And it didn't say, and they had great faith because they heard. No, it said they were mad. So you can hear and not receive what you hear. And you're not a faith person. Are we in the right room this morning? There's more to people hearing the word than just, I mean, to people being people of faith than just hearing the word. Timothy, he was a man of faith. I'm sure he heard. I'm sure they talked about God, talked about the word that Paul preached. And, you know, a lot of things weren't written down yet, but it was being preached and they were writing it down. We got this out of Paul's sermons and stuff, and his letters, excuse me. And written by inspired by the Holy Ghost. I heard Jesse Duplantis say he was in heaven and he talked to Paul. And he said, Paul said, I didn't know that what I was writing down, God was going to turn that into His scriptures. And isn't that an amazing thought?
Yeah.
If he'd have known it, he'd been like, oh. In fear and trembling. Anyway, say, is that true? I don't know. Jesse said it. I wouldn't doubt it, though. You know, we stay with the word, but it's interesting that, I mean, there's a lot of things we're doing that we can look back on and say, whoa, that was God, you know. Anyway, so Paul said, this faith was in you because it was demonstrated, probably talked about, but probably demonstrated in front of Timothy. In other words, it was lived. They didn't just quote verses. They lived by, I'm talking about Timothy's mom and his grandmother. Yes. Must have lived together. Maybe his grandmother lived with him or something. They lived faith. Yes. They demonstrated it right in front of Timothy. Yep. Who knows what how that happened? I mean, we could only surmise. We don't know. But let's just say something like they didn't have food to eat. I don't know. Know how well off they were, but they maybe mama set the table anyway.
Yep.
So Timothy, come in here, we're gonna eat.
Yeah.
Where are we gonna get the food? It'll come.
Yeah. Yep. Amen.
Sit down, Timothy. Let's bless the food. What food?
Yeah.
The food that's on the way, Timothy.
Yeah. That's right.
He supplies all our need. Remember that letter Paul wrote to Philippians? He supplies all our need according to... All right. So Timothy sat down and they prayed in Jesus' name.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
I was just walking by and was thinking about you.
Yeah.
Brought some food over. Thank you. Put it right here.
Yeah.
Timothy's eyes like, whoa.
Yes.
Yeah.
We don't know. I'm just making something up. But somehow that faith was lived in front of him.
Yes, sir.
To where he didn't just hear about it. He saw God come through.
That's right.
Because his mama was the real deal. His grandmama was the real deal. They had faith. They walked in it. And little Timothy, in this case, his eyes is like, whoa.
Yep.
Mama's God. He's real.
Come on.
I remember Dr. DeFrans, listening to him the other day. He was saying that one of his children, he's got more than just two, you know. One of his children came to him and said, she was 16 years old. Of course, doctors ministering all over at that time. 16 years old and came out of a service crying and crying and crying and crying. She saw miracles. She saw God move. And she'd been around her daddy all her life and seen some of these things. But in that service, God opened her spiritual eyes to where she realized who Dr. Dufresne was. Her daddy. Who he was in the spirit. The prophet that he was. The man of God that he was. And she's weeping. She said, I didn't know, Daddy. I'm so sorry. I didn't treat you right. Whew.
Yeah.
I don't know where that came from. But see, children need to have their eyes open.
Yeah.
That God hears mama's prayers. God, his word is true.
Yes.
They need to see mama raised up when the doctor says she's only got 6 months to live. Because our faith is just not lip service to the pastor because he preaches that and I go to a faith church. No, it's the real deal. That gets miracles, signs, and wonders. God comes through and shows himself off, and the children are going, whoa! Makes an impact on them. Because it's not just preached, it's lived. Demonstrated. I go to Philippians here. Philippians chapter number 4. Hallelujah. Faith isn't just praying over your food because it's a religious duty. You know what I'm talking about? It's not just going to church, although that's a faith thing to do. It's a lifestyle. You're going to Philippians 4. I said it's a lifestyle. It's the way we think. It's the way we make decisions. It's the way we spend our money. Y'all still here? It's the way we renew our mind. It's the way we live. Hallelujah. I like living by faith. It's the friends we choose. It's the music we listen to and the music we don't listen to. It's the movies we watch and the movies we don't watch. Remember, we've been talking about fellowship. We do that because of faith. We want to have fellowship with God because that builds our faith. Faith is not just, it's also what our interests are. It's how we talk. We don't say we don't know what we're going to do, Johnny. We say, God will show us what to do. We'll pray in tongues, Johnny. And Johnny, when we pray in tongues, we pray out mysteries. And up out of our belly comes the answers, Johnny. Do you know where your belly is, Johnny? Aha! It's right there, Johnny. Aha! You know, keep it fun for them. And just train them and train them. And they see you praying in tongues. It's not something they just talk about down at the church. It's something Daddy does. Oh, did I say Daddy? I didn't say Mama.
Thank you.
Oh, Daddy does it too. Daddy, they hear Daddy praying in tongues.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
It's not just mama's stuff. Spiritual stuff in prayer life is not just mama's stuff. It's Daddy, what Daddy does.
Yes.
Take your sons and pull them aside and say, let's pray in tongues for a while. You, Dad, you do it, Dad.
Yeah.
Amen. I got Daddy's praying about something. He wants to know what to do. You want to pray just a few? You can't pray forever. Just take a couple minutes, a minute or whatever, and say, oh, we prayed out a mystery.
Yeah.
Watch. God's going to show us what to do.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen.
Then you come back and you show him what God said and say, he gave me the answer.
Yeah.
We prayed that out.
Yeah.
They need to see the word working for you. Not just hear about it at church. See it working for you. Boy, I'm having a good time this morning. So it's not just what you're in Philippians 4. I know I'm just sharing something here. It's just not something we, you know, talk about down at the church. It's something we live. It's the interests we have, how we talk. It's how we obey. Amen. It's how we cast our care on the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And it's not just moments that we live by faith. It's a lifestyle. It's not just us running to church once a month or once a quarter because it gets real hard and we just need to be encouraged. No, it's a lifestyle. Faith is a lifestyle. Habits. Jesus must have been trained going to the synagogue. Because it said, whenever he, as his custom was, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath. Where did he get that? Mama trained him in that. Amen. Mary, you know. So, praise the Lord. I like this. This is good. This is just encouraging to me. So it's a lifestyle. It's lifestyle trains much more than words. Any of you parents had the big shock of watching your children grow up and start acting just like you? Like, wait a minute. Don't do that. That's the way you do it, Daddy. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. Yeah. Come on.
Yeah.
They were. They learned a lot by just watching you. You didn't think they were learning, but they were. You might not have wanted them to learn that, but they learned by watching. That's a sobering thought. So, did you find Philippians? Thank you, Jesus. Philippians 4:9. Paul mentioned this. He's talking to a spiritual son here, and he made this statement. Philippians 4, verse number 9. The things which you have both learned and received and heard, now notice, and seen in me, underline that, seen in me, do that, Timothy, and the God of peace will be with you. So the things that you not only heard, but the things you saw. In other words, you heard my teaching, but what you saw was the way I lived. Because Timothy traveled with Paul. He saw him out of the services. He saw him when the waitress, you know, they didn't have waitresses, but I'm using modern illustrations. When the waitress missed the order, did it wrong, she was a terrible waitress. And how he walked in love, or whatever. He just saw, Paul's lifestyle. How it wasn't just something he preached in church and he lived like the devil outside of the church. That doesn't work. That doesn't work for children where they go to the church and they hear what the way we're supposed to live, but they don't see it at the house. They're going to turn out the way they see it at the house. Doesn't matter what's happening at the church. Woo! I didn't know it was going to come out like this. This is coming out. See, Paul was Timothy's spiritual father. You know what I'm talking about? And he said, whatever you've seen in me, do. Fathering, listen to this. Fathering is demonstrating. It is modeling lifestyle. Not just pointing the way. You've heard me say it many times. Sonny, Johnny, stay off of drugs. And can you go over there and get me my pack of cigarettes. Right. You know, I say that all the time. It's not being lived. It's being a point. Somebody's pointing their finger in the way they should go, but they're not. There's no footsteps for them to look for.
Right.
You know, because nobody's modeling that. I mean, well, tell your neighbor he's all right, preaching all right. Hallelujah. Praise God. So we want to learn, don't we? Want to learn? So. A daddy who doesn't pray or demonstrate spiritual truths, walking in spiritual truths in the home, so forth, just lets it all up to mama, you'll raise boys who won't take the spiritual headship of the house. They think men don't pray, that's women's stuff. Amen. I didn't necessarily agree to preach this sermon the first time the Lord started dealing with me about this the other day. I tried to ignore it, blah, 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 blah. I was meditating on this passage here when Jesus, when I was talking about fellowship, just a few verses here, it talks a little bit about it. I was reading this and I was studying for that, and this jumped out at me. I'm like, whoa. You know, so, hallelujah. And they took him outside of the city and crucified him. Hallelujah. Training. Remember, train up a child. Not just teach a child. Train up a child is different than teaching. Training is modeling character. It's being an example. Amen. In front of them. And you show them how to do it. You don't just point them the way. You show them how to do it. And they see it from you. You give them that habit. Hallelujah. Pastor Nancy made this statement. She said, children are just passengers in the home, and whatever way, whatever direction the parents go, they're just passengers. They're going to end up there too. Well, we want them to end up in the right place. Praise the Lord. So how about we have a real strong influence on our children? What do you say? Many Christians don't know what it looks like to be responsible for something. They think what I'm preaching is being controlling. They have a model of parenting in their mind that we're just buddies. You know, my children and us, we're buddies. Well, you want to be close, and you know what I'm talking about, and very nurturing and so forth. I understand that. But you, it's not like buddies in the sense of, well, they always get their way, and whether it's right or wrong or just a little off-colored or whatever, you know, what you compromise to keep, you're going to lose. So it's not like you're just, you know, kind of a democracy where you're home, everybody gets a vote. Now, yeah, maybe if we're deciding where they want to go on vacation, you understand. I'm not trying to be weird here. I'm talking about spiritual decisions and decisions about things that matter. I think we understand what I'm talking about. So it's not just a democracy where, because remember Joshua said, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. He made that decision for them. As long as you're in this house. Joshua Jr., as long as you're in this house, your God is my God. And as long as you're in this house, my rules apply. You want to live by your rules? Get your own house. And pay for the rent and the insurance and everything that goes along with it. Amen. But as long as you're sleeping in the bed that I paid for and enjoying the air conditioning that I'm paying for. Listen, we preach this and still we hear stories. There's no authority. People don't take, Christians today don't know what it's like to be responsible for something. And your house is your responsibility. Well, hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, just a few more things here. If you can handle just a little bit, I'm almost done. Whatever or whoever is influencing your children the most is what is training them. And I've seen homes where the children are training the parents. You might think I'm just making it up. I've seen it. They've worked their parents, and they've trained their parents to not really follow through with their decisions, and no doesn't mean no anymore. Kids trained them in that. Woo, glory to God. If that's not you, in other words, your influence is not the greatest influence there in your children's life, you're not being a faithful steward of the child God gave you. So the Bible says, let's go to this one more verse here, Proverbs chapter number 29 verse 15. Proverbs 29:15. The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself brings his mother to shame. The rod is part of, not the whole, it's not the complete, you know, realm of training, but it is part of training. The rod happens after instructions, guidance is violated. It's not fair to bring out the rod when they didn't have clear, they didn't clearly hear any instructions.
Yes, right.
Well, I didn't want you to do that, but you didn't say that,
right.
You know. It's not fair. So this is, we've talked about that in the past, but once there is a violation, you know, then there's got to be some consequences. That's what it's talking about. So this is part of training, not the whole gamut of training. It's just part of it. And so it's the correction side. But what, notice what he said, rod and reproof gives. You want to underline or circle that word give, because you're giving to your child. I'm almost done. That's not being mean to a child. Now, there is wrong punishment. Don't misunderstand me. We all know that. But you know, that doesn't mean that any child that's spanked is wrong. That's not scriptural. But there is, and sometimes there's other ways to train them, and they'll respond even better to other kinds of training. So I'm not, this isn't the only thing. I don't have time to get into it all. But let's just say this is part of your training, and he's saying you're giving to your child. Isn't that an interesting, your rod and reproof give wisdom. Isn't that an interesting thought? But a child left to himself, what does that mean? A child who doesn't have your input, your training, your influence, your direction. You're not showing him the way to go. You're letting him figure it out on his own. That's what it means, left to himself. He may still be living in your house. He's not living out in the world, I mean, out in the woods by himself.
Right.
But he can be in, a child can be in a parent's home and still left to himself.
Yeah, that's true.
In other words, left to figure things out the hard way.
Come on.
Because he had no input. No parental guidance. How can you preach on this? You don't have children. I had a mama. I just wanted to help some of you. Some of you were thinking that. And I got a Bible. Whenever he doesn't have input, he's got to make a success of himself without all the training and the input and the direction and influence that his parents were supposed to give him. So whatever he learns, he's going to have to learn it through great hardship and embarrassment to you. That's what it says. Left himself brings his mother shame. Right? So he's talking here about parents who neglect proper training of their child. He's on his own to figure life out. He has to learn by being suspended at school not to speak back to the teachers or do whatever, you know. Nowadays they talk back and don't, you know, this is just, the standard is so low today. Don't expect your children to turn out letting others train them because the standard is so low. So low. God's standard never changes. But in order to finish this up here, he's basically talking about parents who neglect giving this child input. Amen. And he's left on his own to figure it out. And many times they figure it out through great hardship. You know, being arrested, in and out of jail. Finally they wake up and say, well, this ain't working. You know? Well, you could have saved them all that heartache. Isn't that right? And that's giving to them. That's giving wisdom to them. Tell your neighbor, he's preaching pretty good. Hallelujah. And so, love gives. This is love. Training, and which includes correction. It's not just correction, but training is love. Training is giving to your child. That what that child needs to succeed in life without having to learn it the hard way. The Bible said the way of transgressors is hard. I'm almost done. I know we've come to the end of our ability to endure. Hallelujah. The way of transgressors is hard. We can learn things the hard way, but so many times it's not necessary. We don't want our children to have to take 20 years or whatever, 10 years to figure things out, that if we just would have put forth a little effort. But it's so much work, Pastor. Yeah, before you got in bed with Mama, maybe you should have thought about that. Amen. Hallelujah. So say it out loud, love gives.
Love gives.
Hallelujah. And it's time consuming. It requires attention. They'll try to wear you down. And you got to stick with it. Stick with it. Stick with that, like training that horse. You can't just, one time put a bridle on it and say, here's how we do this. Right. You got to do it over and over and over and over and over. How long do you got to do it? Until they get it.
Yeah.
Until they get it.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So it takes constant attention. I mean, a lot of parenting is just paying attention. Yeah, just pay attention. Takes energy, doesn't it?
Yeah.
So I've noticed, takes a lot of energy. I've watched some. Hallelujah. But let me say this, it'll be worth it. Because let me tell you something that's harder. Somebody said, this is hard. Let me tell you something that's harder. It's bailing them out of jail.
Yeah.
Or getting a call from the police at 3 a.m. saying, come identify the body.
Yeah.
Amen. Well, let's all stand.
Amen.
Praise God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You know, failure in the home is the root of most of all the problems in our society. I have watched many news broadcasts or seen many stupid people talking on TV. And if they could hear me on this end, they would hear this. Your mama didn't raise you right. I've said that 1,000 times to my iPad or the TV or something. Your mama didn't raise you right. You didn't learn respect for authority. Or you didn't learn the yes means yes or whatever. Weren't raised in my mama's house. I went to Bible school at 18 years old. And of course, we helped there a long time and then eventually went into full-time ministry. And after, we knew personally, on a more of a personal level, we knew the dean, no, not the dean, well, he had been the dean, but the, what do they call him? The director of RMAI at the time, Mr. Knowles. At that time, we knew him more on a little bit of a personal basis. And so we had been out, we went into full-time ministry, traveling all over the United States, and came back for a little bit of a break and was there on campus and saw him and said, hey, how you doing? And said, hey, come in. When Monday comes, come into the office. I want to talk to you. Just see how you doing and all that. So I went in, sat down. We talked for a while. He said, what are you seeing out there? I said, well, do you really want me to tell you? You know, I'm in most the peoples that came out of the school there, most of their churches. And he said, what are you seeing out there? He said, no, tell me. I said, well, I don't like all the things. There's a lot of good, obviously. I'm not trying to just be negative. A lot of good happening. But I said, there's things I just don't understand. I'm seeing worship leaders split churches, associate pastors causing problems. And these are all graduates of the school here. And I said, I don't understand it because, you know, I sat, or they sat in the same submission and authority class that I went to.
Right.
It's one of my favorite classes in Bible school. You know, it'll jerk the slack out of you. Do y'all have that class? Oh, you didn't have it? I'm going to avoid that one. I'm going to just... I said, they sat in the same class I did. I don't know. They're not acting right. And he said, I knew him on a more personal basis. He knew us, knew my upbringing a little bit. He said, well, I'll tell you what it is. He said, I know your upbringing. I know the way you were raised. I mean, from a child, you were raised right. You were, trained, and your parents had good standards, and they had punishment, and they corrected and loved you, obviously. That's a big part of it. And we're not just trying to be negative, but there's a lot to this. And then you were raised right in a good home. I said, well, yeah, that's true. I said, I remember when we came to class, one of the deans at that time, they had rules on the hair cut. How long your hair could be in the guys. I'm talking about the guys, not the girls. How long your hair, if it was touching your collar, the dean would stand at the door every now and then and just watch you go by. You're trying to lengthen your neck. He had these little slips of paper. He'd just hand everybody, every now and then he'd hand somebody, go get a haircut.
All right.
Yeah. Woo, some things have changed. And I heard people grumbling and and they almost turned to cussing. Bible school students. I said, that never bothered me. That's how I was raised.
Right. Yes.
There's rules.
Yes.
Maybe not all about the hair, but there's rules. You know, somebody, you're at somebody else's place.
Yes.
They make the rules. And
yes.
Whenever the rules are, you're there, you follow their rules.
Yes.
I don't get it.
Yes. Yeah.
But they had trouble with stuff like that.
Yeah.
So I said, that's probably why I said I was raised there. He said, yeah, because you got to realize some of these people, they came to Bible school. They only got saved 2 years before they came to Bible school or whatever, however long it was. And they came right out of the world. They weren't raised right. No rules. You know what I'm talking about? And so they didn't get it. For you, submission authority was easy because that's the way you were raised. Oh, of course. I see that in the Word now. That's what Mama taught me. But she didn't give me scripture and verse, but that's what she taught me.
Amen.
Amen. I got a great revelation. So we've got to raise parents. The society's problems are basically the problems that are coming out of the home.
That's right.
Yeah. Exactly.
So we're not off base here today. We're not off message here today. This will change society.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
We're the beginning of that.
Yes.
Statistics in the church should not be the same as in the world.
Yes.
Yes. Let me just give you a clue, parents. Universities are full of devils. I'm not saying don't send them there. You just better have them. They better have a foundation like nobody's business. Because those universities are going to try to rip it out from under them within just a couple of years. They won't even know if there is a God or not. So when you send them there, you need to know what they're getting ready to. You're throwing Daniel to the lion's den. You know what I'm talking about? I'm not telling you don't send them there. I'm just saying you better be on top of your game. And have them prepared for what they're getting ready to be sent into. Or else make an alternative plan. Send them to a Christian school or just let them get the classes in, you know, community college or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen. Well, this is all good pastoral preaching this morning.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.